the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, the hidden truth. The vital human drama of the famous lie detector, bringing you authentic case histories from the files of the late Leonard Keeler, one of the world's foremost scientific criminologists. Mr. Keeler's real-life part is played by Hart McGuire, who reveals from week to week some of the most baffling human dramas of our times. The Hidden Truth.
Across the street from the exclusive Club Debonair, a shadowy figure lurked in the doorway of a shabby hotel. The figure of a man in his early 30s named Ollie Gatlow. It was well after midnight, and the flashing neon sign of the Club Debonair cut through the low-hanging, depressing overcast like a lighthouse on a misty sea. Ollie's small, button-like eyes peered through the eerie drizzle and fastened themselves on a young girl backing cautiously out of a parked car in the alley next to the club. He saw the driver slouched over the wheel, and he saw the girl break into a run as soon as she was clear of the alley. His thin lips parted in an evil grin as the girl headed directly for the doorway in which he was standing.
Wait a minute, sugar.
Oh.
Hand it over.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The wallet you got stuck in your low neckline. Hand it over.
Are you a cop?
Hand it over and come on upstairs.
Upstairs?
Yeah. This ain't no place to talk things over. Your friend in that car might wake up.
The neon lights had gone out and daylight was just beginning to creep through the fog when Officer Dan Sharkey noticed the car still parked in the alley. It was Sharkey's duty to investigate things like this, but he didn't relish the job. Especially when the foghorns in the river moaned through the gloom like voices from a world of graves.
This 12 to 6 beat never was for me. Every time those things start up, I think I'm listening to my own funeral dirge. Every time I'll get... Hey! Come on out of there! You think this alley's a flop house? Nobody sleeps in cars on my beat. Hey, don't you hear me? Come on out of there! All right, then I'll drag you out. Hey. This guy's hand's like ice. He's cold as a mackerel. No wonder he don't hear me.
Shortly before noon of that same day, a trembling girl sat in a sixth-floor room of that shabby hotel. The grimy window looked out on a tomb-like courtyard. There was no fire escape. The door to her room was locked from the outside. There was no escape. Suddenly, her frayed nerves vibrated like rubber bands at a soft knock on the door.
Oh.
Relax, sugar. It's only me.
You've got no right to lock me up like this. You've got no right to...
You want the whole joint to get wise? You want to get turned in for murder?
Murder?
Here. Take a look at the afternoon papers.
Oh.
What do you can't read shaking like that? Here, let me have it.
I've read enough.
Unidentified victim of drug found in alley. So you slipped in a double whammy, huh?
Dead. I didn't mean to.
While patrolling an alley adjoining the Club Debonair, 115 West Street, Patrolman Daniel Sharkey of 8th Precinct came upon a suspicious-looking sedan about daylight this morning. Upon investigation, the officer found a man about 40 slumped over a wheel. Unable to arouse the man, Sharkey summoned help and the victim was removed.
There's no bullet wounds, no marks of violence, no indication of a struggle, no nothing. Here's a tough one, huh, Doc?
Not so tough, Sharky. Stomach contained enough knockout drops to kill several men.
Mickey Finn, huh? Yeah, some guys will have to learn to stay away from them joints.
Well, all I can do is ship them to the morgue and turn my report over to the state's attorney. Looks like another one of those...
Well, what do you got, Drexel? Anything turn up yet?
Oh, hello, Thorne. They put you on this case, huh?
Yeah, since 6 o'clock this morning. Couldn't you wait until I got a night's sleep, Sharky?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. Next time I'll sit with the deceased until everybody in the state's attorney's office has had plenty of time for their beauty sleep.
Yeah, stomach analysis, huh? What showed up, Doc?
Knockout drops. Lethal dose.
Hmm. Yeah, I figured something like that.
Well, it's not the first time the Club Debonair's pulled that stuff, is it, Bill?
I've been through his clothes. No wallet, no identification. They already started working on labels and laundry marks.
Well-dressed, big car. Funny somebody hasn't been in to identify him.
A car was stolen, Doc.
What?
A car stolen on my beat?
You had that stolen car report right in your pocket, Sharky. You were so busy reporting the murder, you didn't even look at the plates on that car, did you?
Well, it was foggy. It was gruesome. You think I can think of everything at a time like that?
Yeah, since there was no wallet and no identification papers in the victim's pockets, the police suspect the robbery as the motive for the murder. However, since the car in which the victim was found proved to have been stolen sometime about midnight, there is a theory that he might have been connected with the underworld. The victim has brown hair, blue
eyes... I've heard enough. Don't read any more. I've heard enough.
Now, wait a minute. There's something over here on page 3 that might impress you.
I told you I don't want to hear any more.
Blonde B-girl escapes from women's prison. Virginia Markey, serving a term for drugging and robbing male patrons of the city's nightclubs, escaped from women's prison last night about 10 o'clock. She apparently hid in a delivery truck parked outside the door to the prison kitchen.
What's that to me? I never heard of Virginia Markey.
Yeah? Then how come you got your picture here right with the article? What about it, Ginny? Will you cooperate with me now?
Who are you?
Ollie Gatlow. I live here at the hotel, and I don't like the dump, you know? I've been looking for a chance to improve my financial standing.
You've got the wallet. What are you keeping me locked up in this room for?
Well, I don't want nothing to happen to you. The cops ain't that dumb. When a guy dies from knockout drops, it ain't gonna take long for him to connect it up with knockout specialists that just landed out of prison, is it, huh?
What do you care what happens to me?
I got plans. Where'd you pick that car up last night?
Down the street from the prison. I had to have something to get away in.
And you had to have a bankroll, so you picked up some drugs and hit the Club Debonair right off. The first live one you hooked onto got the works, huh?
I didn't even know his name.
I know his name. And I know where he lives and what he did for a living. It's all right here in the wallet. It looks good.
Good?
Yeah. Looks like we can play for some pretty big stakes. That's why I got to keep you laying low, Ginny. You're just the financial asset that I've been looking for. And I got to protect you like as if you was a gold mine. Which you are, sugar.
Oh, Nard Keogh's office. Oh, is he there? This is Bill Thorne. Thanks. Oh, Bill Thorne, Nard. You going to be in your office for a few minutes? Well, I'll run over. I hit a stone wall on that Club Debonair job. Maybe you can help me break it down. Circumstantially, everything fits together like Hoover Dam, Nard.
Circumstantial evidence never was much good, though, Bill. Especially when you haven't even arrested the suspect.
Oh, it's just a matter of time. Look at the way pieces go together. 10 o'clock, Ginny Markey jumps prison. Specialist in roll jobs. At 10:05, a car is stolen a block away from the prison. Between 10:30 and 11, a blonde is seen driving that car through the nightclub district by at least 5 people. At 11:10, a gal in the chorus of the Frolic Club reports that a whole outfit of clothes and a purse containing $4 were stolen from a locker backstage. At 11:30, a blonde drives into the alley at the Club Debonair, gives the doorman a dollar to let the car stay there. From pictures we've shown him, the doorman identifies the blonde as Ginny Markey.
Did the doorman see her come out of the club with her victim?
No, but he was probably hustling a car for a customer at the time. But we have 6 people who saw Ginny with her victim at the bar. saw them leave the place together.
No identification for the victim yet.
No, not a lead. Laundry marks don't match up in this town. Suit label belongs to a national manufacturer. Clothes could have come from any one of a dozen cities.
Fingerprints?
Nothing in our files. We sent them on to Washington for a check.
Yeah. And your best bet is whoever cleaned them out of his wallet and other identification papers.
Which all gets right back to Ginny Markey. And no leads on her.
Where do I fit in, Bill?
Nord, whoever sold her the stuff she used in her victim's drink would have to know her pretty well. Might even be a co-op job where the drug seller splits the take.
Which means the seller very likely knows where she's hiding out.
Nord, I'm rounding up every bartender and every suspicious-looking character in the neighborhood of the Debonair.
Now I know where I fit in.
I want every one of them screened on the polygraph.
How many?
16 picked up so far. Probably as many more within the next few hours.
Nice piece of business, Bill. Let's get started.
Don't move and don't try to scream.
Who are you?
The name is Oligatlo. I've been waiting out here for you in the garage for a long time.
What do you want?
You are Mrs. Trent, ain't you?
I am, but I don't know you.
You will. I think we're going to be business partners.
Oh. Would you mind coming into the house?
We'll stay right here in the car. I don't think you'd want your kids or any other witnesses around.
Why not?
You're pretty well known, Mrs. Trent. You wrote a book called My Ideal Husband, didn't you?
What if I did?
Do you know where your ideal husband is?
Why, yes, he's traveling. He travels a lot and arranges lecture tours for me.
Yeah, women's clubs, parent organizations. They all want to know about your ideal husband. It's big business, ain't it?
Now, see here, I don't understand
I'll give it to you straight. That ideal husband of yours is laying in the morgue over on the other side of the river.
A morgue? Oh,
now,
no.
Don't give me no hysterics. The fact is, he got himself mixed up with the wrong dame, and she slipped him a loaded drink, loaded plenty.
George, a girl, I don't believe it.
Huh? This is his wallet, ain't it?
Where did you get that?
From the dame who rolled him. If it hadn't been her, it would have been some other bimbo. Trent was asking for it, playing around the way he did.
Playing around? George!
Them women's clubs and stuff ain't gonna think much of your ideal husband now, are they? It won't help your lecture business or the sale of your book, none, will it?
Why have you come here?
I'll lay it on the line. The cops ain't identified Trent, and they don't look like they ever will. Now, me and the dame are the only ones who know his identity, see? Now, if we don't spill the works, well, all you got to do is say he's traveling. You could stall off any suspicion for maybe a year. You could do a lot of business in a year.
I would have taken my oath that George never would...
There ain't a guy living with that kind of oath. What do you say?
What do you want for your silence?
$5,000 down and more when I need it.
Oh, please. Sit out on the floor where you can't be seen. I'll drive to the bank and get you the money.
The Hidden Truth continues in just a moment. Several days went by, and the victim found in that alley remained unidentified as far as the police were concerned. Bill Thorne, investigator for the state's attorney's office, was convinced that the key to the man's identity was the escaped B-girl, Ginny Markey. He was also convinced the key to Ginny's whereabouts was the person or persons who sold her the drugs she used on her victim. Consequently, I was spending those few days running lie detector tests on every suspect Bill brought in. The lead questions I put to each suspect went something like this. So you know a girl named Virginia Markey?
Yeah.
Do you know where she is?
No.
Have you ever sold Virginia Markey any drugs?
Oh, do you think I'm crazy enough to get mixed up with a tomato like that?
Just answer yes or no, please. You're delaying the test. While I ran suspect after suspect on the polygraph, carefully checking blood pressure, pulse, breathing, and electrodermal responses of each subject, a bizarre drama was unfolding in that shabby hotel room across the street from the Club Debonair.
5 days. 5 days you've been keeping me a prisoner in this place.
Shut up.
I should never have busted out of jail. I'm just as bad up here.
Will you shut up? You're hot, Ginny. Every cop in the city is on the make for you. If I wasn't in right with the manager of this place...
Why don't you let me lamb out after dark and take my chances? You got your deal fixed up with Mrs. Trent, and my nerves won't take much more of this.
Neither will mine if you want the truth. You're giving me more trouble all the time.
Look, Ollie, I won't put the finger on you. Even if they pick me up, I won't squawk. Give me my cut of the $5,000 and let me go, will you?
So you're not willing to go along with me, eh? You won't sit tight till it blows over, huh?
It ain't gonna blow over. The newspapers are staying with it. If they ever start knocking on every door in this dump... Ollie, give me a break, will you? Give me a pair of scissors and a suit of clothes. If I cut my hair and hop a bus, I can make the Mexican border in a couple of days. What about it?
You know, Ginny, at first I thought maybe I could use you. You're not a bad-looking twist. And I thought maybe you and me could make it a pretty swell twosome. As long as Mrs. T keeps kicking through, I thought maybe...
You think I could tie up with you after this deal? No, no, just give me my cut and cross me off your books. I'll get along.
Okay, your cut is just what you're gonna get.
Ollie, what are you doing?
Your cut, right across your throat.
Ollie!
Now then, just a few more questions, Bernie. Did you ever sell drugs
to... Okay, you got it all figured out. I'm a killer.
I know you've been lying, Bernie, if that's what you mean.
She stopped off at my place on 2nd Avenue that night. Didn't have any dough, so I gave her the stuff on consignment.
Consignment?
Yeah. I was supposed to stop at her hotel the next day and pick up my dough. I didn't know who she was going to roll. I didn't have nothing to do with any of her jobs. I just supplied her stuff for her, that's all.
What hotel, Bernie? Where's Virginia Markey staying?
She said she was checking out of that place across from the Debonair. When the papers broke with that murder, I never went near the place to find out.
I got another suspect for you, Nard.
Oh? Well, I think you'll be interested in this one, Bill. Bernie Catliff, drug peddler from 2nd Avenue.
Is that so? Come on with me, Bernie.
Just tell Mr. Thorne what you told me, Bernie.
Okay, but I didn't have nothing to do with that murder. Even the lie detector will tell you that.
In here, Ollie.
What are you picking me up for? What are you holding me for, huh?
Just a routine lie test, Ollie. Everybody in the neighborhood gets it or else. Ollie Gatlow, Nard, picked him up hanging around a doorway. All right, come on, Bernie.
Okay, okay.
Well, sit down, Ollie. It'll take a couple of minutes to connect you up to the controls.
Ain't the guy got a right to stand in the doorway if he wants to? What is this, the Gestapo?
We'll find out what it is, Ollie, in just a few minutes.
Artie Bronstein, huh?
That's my name.
You're the manager of this hotel?
I own the place.
And with all the spread in the newspapers have been giving this case, you didn't know Ginny Markey was staying here, huh?
Look, Thorne, I get hundreds of people coming in and out of here all day and night. Do you think I got time to give every one of them the double O?
And you have no idea who killed her.
Don't make me laugh. Do you think I go around checking up on every
type? I think I can help you out, Bill.
Oh, I don't know. You through with Gatlow?
Temporarily.
Anything?
Not for eavesdroppers.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Sharky.
Yeah, Thorne.
Take Bronstein in.
Hey, now, wait a minute. I'm going to talk to my lawyer.
By all means, Marty, talk to your lawyer. He'll tell you that we have every legal right to hold you for 72 hours on suspicion of withholding state's evidence.
Well, that's the gist of it, Bill. It showed up very strongly on the polygraph.
Uh-huh.
Ollie Gatlow is hiding guilty knowledge. I know that for sure.
Yeah?
He knows the identity of the victim. He's taken money from the victim. He's involved in some deal that has to do with the victim's family. Also, he knows Jenny Markey. He knows where she is, and his reactions indicate that he has killed her.
Hey, is that polygraph of yours a machine or a mind reader, Nard?
Well, it's a little of both, Bill.
Well, now you got all that, all we've got to do is round up the evidence on him and get a confession out of him.
I think I know how you can get some evidence on him, Bill. Turn him loose.
What?
Yeah. He doesn't know what I know about him. Just tell him the test was inconclusive and release him.
Yeah, I see what you mean, Nard. It's possible that he might...
Just don't let him out of your sight, though. That's all.
Messenger service.
What do you want, Sharky?
I sent me over with this stuff that just came in from Washington, Philadelphia.
Oh, Washington, Philadelphia. Fingerprints records?
Yeah, among other things. You know, sometimes I'm glad I'm a flatfoot and don't have to think, Thor.
Yeah, it's just as well. Still, sometimes I wish I could change places with you, Sharky. Hey. Hey, take a look at this, Nard. What do you make of it?
Hello, Mrs. Trent.
You shouldn't have come here to this house, Mr. Gatlow. My children are in the other room. I told you to telephone.
This is pretty desperate, Mrs. T. I got a lamb out of town and I need a pretty big steak.
Oh. Well, come on in.
I won't be bothering you again after this.
How much?
$10,000.
$10,000?
Yeah. I said I wouldn't be bothering you again after this.
I'm not going to give it to you, Mr. Gatlow.
You don't mean that, Mrs. T. Do you want your ideal husband's playing around to be exposed? Do you want your book sales to go on the rocks? Your lecture business cut off?
I don't think anything like that will happen, Mr. Gatlow.
What makes you think it won't?
You see, my ideal husband doesn't play around. My ideal husband is at home.
What? I don't like the aspersions you've been casting on my character, Mr. Gatlow.
Are you Trance?
I am. And I resent the gentleman who carried my wallet to the scene of such disgraceful debauchery.
Well, how did he happen to have your wallet?
I was robbed on a train in Philadelphia. Fortunately, I had some traveler's checks in my luggage, so I notified the police of the robbery and continued on my travels.
Oh, you'd only written to me about it, dear.
My dear, an ideal husband doesn't worry his wife with trifles.
Well, this looks like I got to protect myself, don't it?
What are you insinuating, sir? Here, put that pistol away.
No.
It looks like I got to wipe out our whole family just because this guy didn't have enough sense to stay on the road.
Don't. No.
Mr. Trent, I'm sorry to have to use your house as a pistol range.
Yeah, it seems very fortunate to me that you did, sir.
He was going to kill all of us.
Well, all's well that ends well. And Nard, this case ended a lot sooner than I expected.
Certainly did. At least it saved the expense of a trial. Jenny Markey, case disposed.
Uh-huh.
Ollie Gatlow, case disposed.
Sure.
And Frankie Nixon... case disposed.
It seems that I've read about this Jenny Markey. I met the late Ollie Gatlow, but who was Frankie Nixon, gentlemen?
He's a train operator, Mr. Trent. Washington identified him through fingerprints. He is the pickpocket who robbed you on that train in Philadelphia.
And used the proceeds to get himself mixed up with the wrong woman.
Hidden Truth stars Hart McGuire as Leonard Keeler, dramatizing actual case histories. Featured with him in tonight's presentation, you heard the following artists. As Ollie, you heard Guy Dolman. as Ginny, Judy Farr, as Sharkey, John Million, as Drexel, John Llewellyn, as Thorne, John Bushell, as Mrs. Trent, Marion Johns, as Marty, you heard Al Thomas, and as Trent, Ron Roberts. Be with us again for The Hidden Truth, a Columbia Hildesker production.